Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. Hope everybody's having a pleasant, easy hump day so far on this June 16th. Man, we got so much NBA news to get to. Starting, of course, with that monstrous performance with Kevin Durant last night. How about the Nets? John Martin once said that if KD is who you all have crowned him to be, then he needs to do it by himself. And if not for Jeff Green, he damn near did do it by himself. So turns out what John Martin said KD needed to do, he went out there and got it done last night. Coaches getting fired everywhere. So long, Van Gundy. See you later. You know what? Zion wasn't having any fun. Did you see him on the bench all season long? Number one, he's hungry. Number two, not a lot of smiles on that bench because that was a year of pain under Stan Van Gundy. And as evidenced, he's been let go, John.
Mm.
You know, you're going to change the coach before you change anything else.
That's exactly right.
It's a player's league, John. And you're a player now 4-0 on Patty Prop Bets.
Patty pumping the Kango kid.
A row.
Brad, I tailed him yesterday, and he made me a winner.
That's right. What was it yesterday?
It was the great Bruce Brown.
Oh, yes, Bruce Brown.
He's forgetting him. He's so hot. Yes. He's put together so many in a row.
Yes.
Tell him what you did for me, John.
We decided that Bruce Brown is a bum, and so we are going to bet against Bruce Brown.
Man, you were right.
And Bruce Brown played 5 minutes in that first quarter, and we didn't see him again really until the end of the game.
What was it, under 16.5 points and rebounds?
Yeah.
He didn't even come close.
No, he didn't. I was a little nervous at first because he pulled down the first possession. He pulled down an offensive rebound.
Right, he started the game.
But thank God for Uncle Jeff. Uncle Jeff came in and had the best game of his life, and then Steve Nash couldn't go back to Bruce Brown. I mean, he is Bruce Brown after all.
BC, this is John.
Sniffing him out.
He a bloodhound.
And
man, sniffing it out, the winners.
In a climate, by the way, in a climate where everybody's getting hurt, everybody's playing weird minutes.
That's so true.
It's harder than ever before, you know, to find these props. But I'm 4-0 since over the weekend, and we're going to try to make it 5-0 today. I haven't decided yet. Again, the Kawhi news today, which we're going to get to, is throwing me for a little loop.
Mm.
I got to figure out which game I'm more comfortable with. Yeah. I usually only pick one a night, and I lock that in. That's the Patty Prop Bet lock of the night. Haven't decided yet, but maybe before the show is over, I will share.
Exciting. You helped all of Memphis like you helped me yesterday.
That's right. 11:25, we're going to be joined by Mark Giannotto. He's got a piece up at commercialappeal.com about some parking snafus potentially for Memphis football games.
That's a lot of parking spaces they stand to lose.
Everybody's getting upset. But
they're going to get it fixed.
As I will say, and as I have said before, if you're a real Memphis football fan, man, you will walk to the Liberty Bowl. It don't matter where you're coming from.
From the airport? Food?
From the airport, from Olive Branch.
That was the part to me. Going to shuttle some people in from the airport?
Who's at the airport? Who are you picking up at the airport?
Oh, flying in for the game, I guess.
So you got to go to the airport and park your car and then shuttle?
According to the column, we'll get you and I don't want to talk about it, but some from the University of Memphis, from the campus shuttling in. Okay, I can kind of get that.
Yeah.
That's a little short little.
That's a very small number of people normally, though.
But also some from the airport, John.
Yeah.
That's a little bit longer ride
to
come on in for a Memphis football game.
It is.
or Southern Heritage Classic, whatever it's going to be. But yeah, 3,000 parking spaces I think they lose with that Liberty Park.
Right.
That new Liberty Park they've done,
which
would broken ground on
2022, right? Is that the return?
I think so.
Yeah. And so anyway, we'll talk to Mark Giannotto about this. Some people are very upset about this on social media about how dare you take 3,000 parking.
I mean, it's
spots.
A lot. It's a lot.
Is it a lot? I mean, I guess it seats 50,000 plus. I mean, 3,000. Yeah.
If you got to move them to the airport, brother, it's a lot.
Well, you know, we need more people to appreciate what we got at the airport.
Mark also had a column on Cameron Payne from a couple of days ago. We'll ask him about that. One of the great Memphis basketball stories.
Yeah, so all that and more with Mark Giannotto at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Chris Mannix is going to join us. Man, it has been
on a newsy NBA day for sure.
It really has been. Everybody just decided to collectively, today's the day. You got some news. We're going to just dump it all out. And so Chris Mannix is going to join us. We will talk to him about, obviously, the game last night for Kevin Durant, a triple-double when his team needed it the absolute most. And they really did, because James Harden clearly was not ready to play. In fact, Charles Barkley was hinted at the half that he should not be playing because of the way he looked. So we'll talk to Chris Mannix about all of that and more.
Kawhi
from Sports
gone.
Illustrated. Yep, Kawhi is gone. CP3 is in the COVID protocols. All that and more with Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated at 1:25. So that is the show today.
All right.
As always, looking forward to it.
Oh, I heard you and Jeff have a conversation about dice earlier. We'll address that at some point in the show as well. I have a couple of concerns.
There was something to address.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the verbiage used.
Oh, well, don't get hung up on the verbiage, man. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 30 years old now. It's been 12 years since I've been in high school.
Rolled dice at White
Station.
Well,
because
you were rolling in the halls and the classrooms.
Casino craps.
Playing with the teachers.
Totally different than the game that I played at White Station. You know,
you and many other Memphians.
I've never played, you know, I've never really understood
craps. Did you hear the conversation, BC?
I didn't get a chance to hear it.
Okay, well, we may review that conversation a little bit later on.
Yeah, well, I look forward to revisiting that.
A couple of questions for you.
Okay, always happy to address any questions you may have.
Thank you.
What a playoffs this has been in an extreme way, because on one side of the spectrum you have the iconic performance last night from Kevin Durant. 49 points, triple-double last night. I mean, the shots that he was making in the fourth quarter – just, I mean, that's the pinnacle of NBA basketball.
20 of the 49 in the fourth.
I mean, it was just a virtuoso performance, I would say.
I heard you say you're going to play it for your daughter at some point when she's
a little bit older. Someday she's going to, you know, walk on in there and I'll be watching something and she's going to say, why do you love this so much? And I'm going to say, honey, sit down.
I think that's beautiful.
Let me explain. You know, because there is just a... what do they say? Poetry in motion.
I mean, you was hating on KD the other day for the most part.
I was hating on you. Let's be very clear about
that
this.
That ain't nothing new.
I was hating on you. Kevin Durant.
Quite a bit of that.
Kevin Durant did what I believed he could do if he is indeed the greatest offensive player of all time, which is elevate his team, carry his team to a victory in a pivotal must-win game. And that is what happened last night. It looked like they were going to get blown out again. That's the game started much like game four started.
Down 16 at the half.
Yeah, it looked like Milwaukee was. I mean, at the end of the first half, Charles Barkley came on and said, "This Bucks team is going to win the world championship."
He said, "It's a stupid team."
Yes,
but they're going to win the whole thing.
Yes, and then of course the Brooklyn Nets came out in the second half, and Kevin Durant took over, and the Bucks lost the game. And Kevin Durant was basically, with some help, like we said, from I always said the
Come
Grizzlies should have never traded Jeff Green.
Give that man some love.
Or Seth Curry.
This man went 7-7 from three till he missed one.
You could
finish 7-8.
You could.
He couldn't miss.
Start a playoff team damn near with some of the folks that have come through the Memphis Grizzlies organization and gone on somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like Seth Curry. Why couldn't we make that work back in the day? What happened? I mean, that dude is awesome.
You're going too far because Uncle Jeff ain't going to do this again.
No, that's the thing. Like, I saw Colin Cowherd tweeting about this. He was like, man, how is Jeff Green not getting paid? I can tell Colin Cowherd's not been watching Jeff Green very long, bro.
I mean, he's had a good season this year.
Yeah.
Especially for his age, but no, to that point.
He'll come back next game and have 8 points. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, anyway, it was an all-timer from Kevin Durant. And that's not really like – I guess if you want to say that it's coming off the ruptured Achilles 2 years ago. You know, you could sort of talk yourself into all
doing
we wondered
it,
if,
for the most part without Kyrie and Harden, even though Harden's out there, he's not Harden.
He's there in body.
Yeah.
But what
man played more minutes than Giannis though.
What LeBron say about the All-Star game? I'll be there in body, but my mind won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like James Harden last night. Like, he was there.
He ended up with five, yeah.
Yeah, but he clearly was not, like, right.
He made the right decision to brush off the double team on a...
Yes.
To wave off the double team on Giannis late.
That is true.
Like, his presence was felt, even though
it
kind of wasn't.
Well, and again, it's like, that's what the Lakers were hoping to get away with Anthony Davis.
Correct.
Just have him out there and, like, function
but
a little bit.
But you need more from him than that.
Yes, yes. But James out there played damn near the full game. Kevin Durant did play the full game. I don't think last night should have come as a surprise to anybody that's been watching. I mean, he's a champion. You know, like, he's got that pedigree. He's had moments.
Yeah, but he's done it, you know, on a Golden State team that had the stars to where you're even questioning, should he be the finals MVP? Steph was good, too. You know what
fair
I'm saying?
Fair enough, fair enough, yes.
This was when they needed it most.
That was a standalone performance.
Yes,
I think he'd probably tell you it was his favorite performance.
I know where you're going, though, and I'm with you on going there, but you can't.
Yeah,
understate how.
Oh no, you're right. No, you
great
can't.
A performance
you can't.
That was.
You can't, and it shouldn't be. You're right. We shouldn't be desensitized to the greatness that we saw last night.
49-17-10 is unbelievable. Most points in a playoff game by a player to play the entire game since Havlicek had 54 and 73. Nobody plays that many all the game,
right.
And plays that well for an entire game.
Well, and it's the first time in the history of the NBA that anybody's had that type of a stat line in a playoff game.
Yeah,
like Kevin Durant now stands alone in terms of the rebounds, assists, and points that he scored last night in the same game as he did in Game 5. But you know, look, when you're a champion, when you're a multiple-time champion, you know what I'm saying, you are built for moments like that because you've been in them.
It's called killer instinct.
Yes. And
he's
I thought it was really a display of the disparity between what it means to be a champion and what it means to be built for moments like that, because on the other side, and it pains me because I really like him. Like, I really like him on a personal level. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a great ambassador for the league. And he seems genuinely nice. So I hate to say it, but it exposed Giannis. It might have been the most direct exposure of Giannis in his entire career, because while on one side of the court, you have Kevin Durant bombing in three after three after three, getting to the free throw line, doing everything he's got to do for his team when they need him the most. You had Giannis on the other side, can't make free throws, can't take advantage of a Harden on one leg in a post-up situation, passes out of there, settles for a jump shot, which that's not his game. And then he fumbles a very catchable pass. And then I guess in trying to so quickly dunk it, he fumbles it because he's afraid of going to the free throw line.
Blowtorch. That was some Tony Romo right there.
Yeah, that I thought that was probably the biggest indictment of Giannis that he has. And look, the guy still had 30-something points, right? Like, he still, you know, he scored. He's going to do that. But in terms of the moment, he shrunk while Kevin Durant embraced and took advantage of it.
I like the way you framed that, and what I would add is that, yes, spectacular performance from KD. But to me, it was more about Giannis and not being ready for the moment. As much as KD came through and they needed every part of that, I learned more or had more confirmed when it comes to Giannis and these moments. And listen, that whole thing's been built around him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it feels like we have given him every excuse
to
not be on. A player like Kevin Durant, John, you are at home. He's scoring 20 in the fourth quarter, taking it over. Basically, there's no Kyrie, there's no Harden for the most part. He's just out there, and you're not even on him? A 2020, the 2020 Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
John, I don't know about you, but, you know, I had a goal back of the apartments we lived in Midtown growing up. And I wasn't the best guy to come over and play on the go. We had some studs come over from Snowden, including the great Chris Garner. LaMarcus came over. Guys be a lot better than me, okay? But it was the goal that we put up, me and my dad put up, it was my goal, okay? And if somebody started to come over and take over, it was almost like you were obligated because you got other dudes out there too to where you're like, all right, give them to me. You know what I'm saying? Now those guys, they had no problem blowing by me. But the point is that when it's your house, your goal, what you're going to use the excuse of, well, the system dictates that I'm not on KD. The quote that killed me from Giannis, point of that, protect your house. The quote that killed me from Giannis is not the, he's the best player in the world right now, we've got to beat him as a team. That didn't kill me as much, Giannis saying that KD's the best player in the world. What killed me is we've got to guard him as a team. It's what he said right after that. This as a team thing that last night clearly was not working. At some point, John, when it's on you, right? This is supposed to be your series, especially when Kyrie and Harden are down. You're going to slap the floor and say, this one's on me. When you're the best equipped and best suited, a 2020 Defensive Player of the Year, and you're not the one that's on him?
Yep.
Brother, you ain't got the guts for this. You're not cut out for this. And I don't know, John, when does that change? Because offensively, whether it's his fear of going to the free throw line or whatever else, down the stretch, when it's time to do what KD was doing last night, he's not capable of that. Like you talked about, James Harden able to wave away the double team. This guy's going to shoot a fadeaway on me rather than go to the hole. Kind of, are you kidding me? You've got to be able to take over, and that's the point. With this, the Bucks should feel like you had to feel like this is your series.
Yep.
Especially with the injuries, are you going to let one guy beat you? And me in the fourth quarter, just as amazed as I am by the shots that KD was hitting, I was that amazed at the way that Giannis didn't want it.
Right.
He didn't want any of it.
This is a two-time MVP now, not his Defensive Player of the Year. This is a two-time MVP.
One MVP and Defensive Player of the Year same season, did he not? I mean, he's supposed to be the stud of the league. You're getting all the accolades. You have gotten all of the accolades. They have built that thing around you. And we've all said that this is about what you put around Giannis so they can finally break through. At some point, it's about Giannis, guys. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen that now and had it confirmed, whether he's not holding Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Now, they came back, did a better job, but some of that this year was Jrue Holiday, too.
Yep.
Or this scene last night.
Yep.
When it is a one-man show, save for Uncle Jeff Green.
No doubt.
And you don't even go out there to say, this my series, I'm not letting this one get away. I was extremely disappointed, but also sort of a confirmation of what we saw last. This dude don't want it in those big moments.
Yep.
Like KD. KD's got that killer instinct, like we just talked about. Giannis doesn't have it.
Yep. I mean, it's true.
And the great ones got to have it. Kobe, Mike, KD, LeBron.
Yep.
The great ones have it. He does not. How does he get there? Do you ever just get that?
Well,
do you have to
26.
Go through these moments and watch somebody just beat you as a one-man show to get it? Like, a lot of it, again, I think fear, free throw line, some of that. But clearly some of it is, free throws doesn't have anything to do with you playing defense.
Yep.
Mr. Defensive Player of the Year last year. What are we talking about here?
Yep.
I was ashamed for him.
It was a tough look.
Or ashamed of him in this situation, that performance.
It was a tough look. You know, and I think, once again, it's sort of because the best player on the other team made shots from every spot on the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And did more. And initiated offense, rebounded like a monster. Like, he did it all because he had to.
And the reality of the situation is, and look, this is going to be relevant in Memphis. It just is. You have got to have the defense think that you can make an open shot. That you can, if the situation calls for it. Like, if you're in a one-possession game, that you can make a shot, whether it's from three, whether it's, you know, a mid-range, whatever. Mm-hmm. I know we talk about the mid-range because of Chris Paul. But you have got to sort of make the defense think in those situations that you're capable of making that shot, because when they don't, this is what you get. I mean, Kevin Durant is unguardable. Kevin Durant is not somebody that it doesn't matter what you throw at him. You know, he can kill you inside, he can kill you at the foul line, he can kill you, fadeaway, anything you want, three-pointer. He's got a friggin' deep bag, and Giannis does not. And you have to continually expand your game offensively. Yeah, defensively it was a problem too. Like, you have to be. I don't know how much he would have made. It's hard to say, right? Like, would he have, if he would have guarded him?
You would have got to go out there, use some of that length, and give it a shot. You're supposed to be Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. But I think more of it's like, I think it's more of an indictment on what he's not bringing to the table offensively. You know, as a two-time MVP, as somebody who was, like you said, the franchise was built around, you can't trust Giannis to make a three. You can't Giannis to in a one-on-one situation with James Harden, you don't trust that his bag is deep enough to blow by him, take advantage of
Harden
that.
Harden on one leg, by the way.
Make the fadeaway shot. Yeah, I mean.
How's Harden playing more minutes than you yesterday?
Yeah, I think it was just and again, the guy had 30-some-odd points, but how many of those shots were in transition, just straight-up dunks, easy baskets, whatever? Yeah. you know, the it's hard to win a championship when your best player is a guy that's not consistent enough from the outside in this day and age. Giannis might have been able to win titles in the 80s and 90s. You know, like maybe that, maybe.
They're lucky it's not already over because the Nets could have easily won game three.
Yeah.
And in the end, should the Bucks go on to lose, and I'm not saying it's over because, again, you're going to get that again from Jeff Green, as Grant. But in the end, you know, Giannis not being able to shine in the biggest moments is going to do what? It's going to cost Budenholzer. And at this point, it should cost Budenholzer. I mean, again, you've looked at him at points during this series, looked like he got no answers. Went to the zone game, too, got busted up. I mean, there's been a ton. But we'll all, because Players League, the story will be, well, Budenholzer couldn't get it done. He couldn't get this team over the hump. Nobody's firing Giannis.
Yep.
That thing, like we said, it's built around him. You're stuck with that. And what you're stuck with is whether or not he's ever going to take that next step.
Yep.
And somehow, John, get killer instinct all of a sudden. Seems to me like you've either got that or you don't.
For sure.
Maybe it's developed. But developed in the sense that you didn't have, you know, you had killer instinct, and maybe if there's one point you can't execute, and then finally you do. Because remember Kobe as a young guy taking those shots against Utah? Yeah. Like he wanted, you know what I'm saying? You got to have killer instinct even early to take those shots. They were air balls, and eventually they turn into makes. But the point, it was there in him. Yes. He wanted that.
Yeah, like there's
Kobe wanted it. Mike wanted it.
There's a clip of Kobe, Tracy McGrady puts him on skates. This is like a, you know, 2000 era game, right?
Right.
Tracy McGrady puts him on skates. Literally the next possession, Kobe Bryant comes down and dunks on Tracy McGrady and somebody else. Like that was what Kobe always immediately, oh, you got me? I'm coming right back.
Feels to me like at the end of that game, Giannis should be demanding that ball in the post.
Yep.
Should be on Kevin Durant if you are really the guy that you have been crowned to be.
And when
I say a shame, it should really be, it should be on me. Because last week, here I am saying, two weeks ago, talking about the LeBron conversation.
Yep.
First name out of my mouth, Giannis. Because why? MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, same year, 2000. I mean, come on.
When you're a two-time MVP, you should absolutely be delivering in that moment last night.
But then you watch last night, and it's just like I believe that Durant told Jay Williams. I mean, don't compare me to that dude. You see me when Giannis tried to tie him up at the end?
Yes, yes.
Kevin's like, get off me.
Yes, he did say that. He did do that.
Like, man, they put us in the same sentence.
Well, like,
last night, KD made it look like they don't belong in the same sentence whatsoever.
Well, look, and I think that's...
And look like the best player in the world at the same time.
I think it's true, man.
Especially with Kawhi hurt.
And I made this point with Jeff, but I do believe it's true. Like, Kevin Durant is an a-hole. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't...
Well, and he lies and burners and all that junk and all, like, you know, he's concerned about the image,
but some of
the best are, though.
That's the way he carries himself on the court, you know?
Some of the best are.
He's a dick.
And Tom Brady is that on the sidelines.
Yes,
yes,
he is.
Get up in you.
Yes, he is. Michael Jordan.
Was that nobody, in practice
nobody,
and everywhere
nobody
else.
Nobody liked Michael Jordan. Nobody liked playing with Michael Jordan.
You heard the stories about Kobe and his teammates there at the end of the career
thing.
When he was that dude and 100%. Had to be the driver.
There is a common thread, right?
100%.
And it's all in the... spirit of trying to get the most out of your team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said anything mean about Giannis. And nobody's ever said, man, Giannis, I can't play with him. He's a nice dude. He's a nice guy. And moments like that, I'm not trying to get sort of, you know, whatever, psychological here, but I do think it matters in these moments.
He got to hold himself accountable.
Yeah.
As much as he's held that franchise accountable here for putting the pieces around him of late. You going to do everything you got to do to keep me?
Yep.
Brother, you're the one he's looking in the mirror at this point.
Yep.
Those flaws in your game are costing you at this point.
They are. I mean, how can you not?
We'll put the blame on Budenholzer, but as much or more.
Well,
he'll get the blame.
I mean, he'll ultimately take the fall.
Should they lose? Yeah, they still got a chance.
But you know,
because Harden. Whew,
yep.
Who was that?
Yep.
He was out there, but that. And how's that hamstring get better?
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he needs another month off,
yeah,
another two, three weeks off.
And the good news is that I'm assuming Kyrie will return at some point, right?
Sounds like it might be. Yeah, it might not be this series.
It might not be. They may not need him this series, though. Clearly, I mean, you know, I think it will come back for the finals. I mean, that's what you got to remember. You're still in the semis here, and so that is the reminder.
Man,
but
appreciate your boy Bruce Brown, though.
Man, Bruce Brown came through.
Man, Bruce Brown.
Man, so trash.
He knows his role now.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
After taking those shots. Well, that last shot was that game
yes.
three there, blew it.
Well, my logic was James Harden is not rushing back from a hamstring injury to set up Bruce Brown, and I was right, okay? That just wouldn't make any damn sense in the world.
Salute to Uncle Jeff Green. Man, what a game.
He was automatic last night. He really. I mean,
did you see the picture of him and KD out there? That's on Twitter. Him as Supersonics, Jeff Green and
yes,
KD together.
That was the core once upon a time in Seattle.
It came through for the Nets last night.
And then, of course, the other news in the NBA: Kawhi Leonard is going to be out for the remainder of the Jazz series with a knee sprain. You know, this has been, as well as Chris Paul is in COVID protocols, and we don't know yet how long that will take. I mean, they still have to get through the Clippers and Jazz series.
Did they already say remainder of series? Just clean that up real fast. I know he's out game five and saw it could be out remainder of series.
I saw
is it
Sean
done?
Say that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That changes everything.
Excuse me, out indefinitely. I apologize.
Okay. I know he's out for game five and could be remainder of the series, is what Cheryl Burton
said. But out indefinitely to me says he's probably done for the rest of the season. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, you don't want to say that. You don't ever want to say he's out for the season, but I mean, that's a tough one.
Changes everything about that series because they had seized the momentum.
This is
it's all on playoff Paul.
Yeah, and just from a big picture standpoint, Joel Embiid is playing on a torn meniscus. James Harden's out there with a bum hamstring. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul's is in COVID protocols. You know, LeBron was banged up. AD was hurt. You know, the list goes on and on of players who are you still playing or can't play anymore in these big games because of, unfortunately, the shortened break, you know, because of COVID. You didn't have the regular offseason. Some of these guys were playing on into, you know, Jamal Murray, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he would have liked to have been out there for his Nuggets team. You know, I can't help but think that we're going to look back on this particular season and say
that was a war of attrition.
Yeah, it was about the offseason and how it wasn't long enough. You know, too many games and not enough time.
It cost the Lakers. Cost you know AD all that kind of stuff, so it's all over the league. Now again, you make the point. Giannis goes underneath Kyrie's foot. You can't. That's something. You
right.
Can't.
It's a freak injury.
Right. Doesn't that the layoff, whatever short off season doesn't matter there. But give me a break. Every team it feels like has dealt with something serious. Even Donovan before the playoffs. You know he's off for a month before he gets into the playoffs. Looks like he's benefiting from that now because he's so fresh. But now you're absolutely right. I mean everybody's suffered serious injuries and it's. Seem like, okay, who's going to be the healthiest? Funny thing, the Bucks right now, the most healthy, but it's letdown time for Giannis.
That's right. That's right.
And in this Chris Paul thing, we can get into that later. Like, Jalen Rose said, dude is vaccinated. And he said it like he knows it, like he's talked to Chris Paul. So we'll get to that later. I guess, you know.
There's some ambiguity with that one. It's hard. We don't know.
His point was that it'll be a short stay in the protocol because Chris is, but there's definitely some questions there.
We'll get into all that a little bit later in the show. When we come back, Mark Giannotto is going to join us. We'll talk to him. He got a comment about campaign. It was obviously one of the best stories in the NBA right now with the Phoenix Suns that are in the Western Conference Finals. Also get into his story about the Liberty Bowl and the parking and how that might impact Memphis football. All that and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guys, we're in the middle of the second round, and I'll tell you what, the action is heating up. Kevin Durant's making sure of that. You got plenty of good matchups to bet, and you can do it all on FanDuel Sports, but because they're taking it to the next level with this offer, new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. That's right. New users, you'll get that $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. It's the best deal in the biz. Plus, once you've got that account, this is for us existing users. You can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. Hey, what's Bruce Brown going to do from rebounds, points standpoint? Kevin Durant, he's going to go over 30 points. You put all those together, you can bet small like I do. $2 bet can win you a nice little tank of gas. That's the way I roll, you big rollers. You guys can go higher. The great part about FanDuel Sportsbook is they got a little something for everybody. If you don't win on that same game parlay, you'll get up to $10 back. That's per every week of the playoffs. Basketball fans, it's the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JSmith, it's JSMITH, to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free. Get in on the fun. It's exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
You can win $1,000 with Sports Cash.
That's right. No. Man, that's awesome.
Coming up at the top of the hour, here at 12 noon on 92.9 FM ESPN.
People in the city see the Mark Giannotto's the sports columnist over at the Commercial Appeal, host Giannotto and Jeffrey. got a couple interesting pieces up at commercialappeal.com. He joins us now. So, Mark, how big? Because I see a little bit of blowback on social media. I don't maybe I'm missing some, but I have seen a little bit of blowback about the situation that you wrote about over at the Liberty Bowl, which is of course this new Liberty Park and this renovation and these plans for the fairgrounds may mean 3,000 fewer parking spots for Memphis football games. How big of a deal do you sense around the community that this will be?
I think here's where I would say it's gonna be one of those things. People aren't going to I don't think the general public's gonna realize it till it actually happens to them, and I think it's gonna happen. You know, not every game. It's basically a problem, I think, as we look towards at least this fall. It's a problem for the Southern Heritage Classic, and it's a problem for that Memphis-Mississippi State game. Because ultimately, the parking that is not going to be there, Frank, this year and moving forward, is the area where the Liberty Land Amusement Park used to be. And it's an area where, generally speaking, when there's like 40,000 or more people in the Liberty Bowl, it's where a lot of the general admission parking is. Like the parking that's not a, you know, pre-issued pass, the people who just drive up and pay $20 to park at the Liberty Bowl, all that parking, a good chunk of it is going to be gone. A big chunk of it is going to be gone. Parking that's used when that stadium is closer to full. And so, you know, you have to just, I guess, look at it in terms of how many times a year are there more than 40,000 people in the Liberty Bowl? Mm-hmm. Probably like, you know, two or three Memphis games maybe, and the Southern Heritage Classic. So in the sense that it's a problem, it's only a problem on those 4 days, probably, something like that. A big problem, if you will. But it's just something I don't think people had been thinking about, and if you read the story, this Liberty Park project that I think sounds, you know, in theory, sounds fantastic. This youth sports center that they're going to build there, they're hoping to build hotels and retail and office space and all that stuff. You know, there's also, you know, you do have to address the parking issue, and they have not yet. There's still time. You know, they don't have a long-term plan yet, or even, frankly, a short-term plan. Like, the point of the story was, you know, ultimately, especially Memphis, University of Memphis and the Southern Heritage Classic don't really know yet the specifics of how many parking spots exactly they're going to have access to this season, because the city is still finalizing their plan. So it's just, the story was kind of an offshoot to the fact that, you know, they've made this progress on the Liberty Park development to the point that their, you know, construction crews are in there now, clearing out dirt. And, you know, there was a groundbreaking ceremony this week. But with that progress, there are some immediate concerns that are going to have to be addressed. And it sounds like, you know, the preliminary plan for some of these big events at the Liberty Bowl is going to involve making up that lost parking with, you know, shuttle bus service from the University of Memphis and from possibly the Memphis airport. And so, you know, is it going to affect your diehard Tiger football fan who typically gets their season parking passes? I'm very skeptical of that. I think those people are going to be just fine. It's, to me, it's for those two or three games each year where like a lot of people come to the Liberty Bowl. There's not going to be parking for all those people on site now that this construction on Liberty Park has begun.
And then everything that you're losing, the 3,000 spaces that are part of Liberty Park or will be part of Liberty Park, you're not making up completely with the city's, you know, purchase of the, I read in your column, in the Coca-Cola bottling plant. It's like 17 acres, right, Mark? But only, how many spaces are we talking about right there in that area?
They're talking 500 to 1,000 spaces
okay,
there.
So, yeah,
now, the question is, you know, that's just for this. You know, this is right now, they're just thinking in terms of, all right, how do we do, while the construction's going on, how do we make up the difference in spaces lost? Mm-hmm. again, they've got to finalize a short-term plan for how they're going to address their partners over, you know, whether it's the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, the Southern Heritage Classic, or University of Memphis, how they're going to address those needs in the short term for parking. And then they have to come up with another plan of how they're going to address this in the long term. So, you know, those 500 to 1,000 spots at the Coca-Cola bottling plant are a short-term solution. Now, the question is, can you build a garage? You know, do you have the money and wherewithal and space to maybe build a parking garage on those 17 acres long term?
That's what I wondered, yeah.
You know, like, that's the question. I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I suspect, you know, money could be an issue as well as space in that situation. I don't know if it's quite, you know, how is that a big enough piece of land to have to have an adequate garage? And then, I do think long term they have to think about it. But I do think the city has a point in that, you know, it is important that if this project works, I think it's really important, a really important project for the city, because this huge piece of land, you know, this site, the fairgrounds, will be in use, mm-hmm. you know, most of the weeks of the year. I think the needs of that, while it's concerning for these few football games, I understand where the city's coming from, prioritizing the project and saying, you know what, we'll figure out the parking as we go. Hopefully it doesn't bite them in the butt. Like, I'm hopeful there's a solution here where, you know, this project goes off without a hitch, and there's, you know, for those few days out of the year, that there's adequate parking for it.
Do you think, because this sounds awful, I'll be honest, this sounds terrible. I mean, it just does. Like, the idea that I'm supposed to now drive to the Memphis airport to not get on a plane and go to Cancun, Memphis, but to go to the Liberty Bowl.
Unless I build a parking garage with the old Coke bottle.
And then I got to go back. It seems like to me. That I hate. I hate the idea of that. But I do think that it could lead someday, because it's going to be a disaster, right? It could lead someday to talks of an on-campus stadium restarting. Do you think ultimately we might look back on this and say this was the impetus for why we pursued an on-campus stadium at Memphis again?
Well, maybe. Here's my question. Because it's funny, I was talking to some people, and I think even without the construction, when that stadium is completely full for the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, for instance, like, I know in 2017-18, when Memphis played in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and that place was filled to the brim with Memphis and Iowa State fans, like, there wasn't enough parking even without this construction for all the seal. They were running shuttle buses from the University of Memphis for that already. Now, this is going to be a lot more people, it sounds like, mm-hmm. who are going to be forced to take a shuttle bus. It sounds like it's like OBO, 1,000 to 2,000 spots will be made up at the University of Memphis, and you'll take a shuttle bus. Now, the question for you guys, that I have for you two is, I guess, do you view, like to me, I agree that having to go from the shuttle from the airport to the Liberty Bowl seems like, you know, that seems like a turnoff. Is shuttling from the University of Memphis campus, yeah. Which is closer, probably half the distance of the airport, is that sound more palatable to you?
I mean, I guess at the margins, but it's still the idea of having to drive somewhere that's not the destination. I feel like I'm in Disney World, you know, like, you drive to the Magic Kingdom parking lot and then you got to get on the shuttle to get to the front of it. Like, it's just, I'll do that for Disney World because I have to. You know, but
what'd you do to see Mississippi State?
Right. What about the, I mean, because this is, like you said, this affects the casual fan, right? It's not going to affect the diehard that's got a season ticket, you know, and a parking pass.
People who go to the big games. It affects the people who go to the big games.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem, because we always have this conversation about attendance when it is the Ole Miss, the Mississippi State, or whatever. Well, why couldn't we get X amount of people? Why couldn't we have a sellout? Why? And this clearly is going to act as, to me, a total disincentive to go to the, because it's like, I got to go through all this stuff just to get to the stadium
right
now. I mean, again, 3,000 parking spots, but if you're telling me that parking is going to become more of a nightmare than it already is. Like, that's going to be one of those things where, like, partner with Uber or something, or Lyft, or, you know, like that. Like, to me, like, that would be another thing I'm really trying to get on is, you know, let's do a promo code for Ubers and Lyfts that day for Memphis Tiger Athletics. You know, like a promo code Silverfield, Super, you know, whatever. You know, I would really be trying to think of anything other than a shuttle, because that's going to be a pain in the ass for anybody like that.
Yeah, I mean, this plan that they gave to us yesterday, it's also not been finalized. So maybe some of the reaction that the mayor's office gets to this will change some of their thinking on this. But I think in the short term, they're in a tough spot here. Like, I don't know what your other options are in terms of, like, actually, if you're trying to find actual parking spots for people. You know, if you can only get 500 to 1,000 in the Coke bottling plant, it sounds like there's another 500 to 1,000 that they feel like they can create over at Toby Park across the street. Although they're also, if you look at their plans, planning to that high school football stadium that's on the fairgrounds now, that is going to be moved over to the Toby Park area as well. As part of this construction with Liberty Park. So, you know, I'm curious long term how many extra spots you'll have at Toby Park moving forward. It does seem like parking is an issue that they've basically decided to figure out as they go.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a terrible strategy, but it is just something like, it feels like they've kind of pushed it off as long as they could, and now it's we're what, 3 months away basically from Memphis football starting, and it's something they need to address. Like Memphis, University of Memphis can't sell parking spots yet, like can't sell their season passes yet, really, because they don't know exactly what the parking plan is yet. And you know, Southern Heritage Classic, it sounds like they've sold out their tailgating, but you know, this Southern Heritage Classic is going to be, you know, it's like, you know, most anticipated in a long time, maybe ever, because of Deion Sanders and Eddie George. And it feels like, you know, it feels like there's a decent shot that could be a sellout at the Liberty Bowl. And, you know, if you're selling out the Liberty Bowl, you know, those 3,000 spots are really valuable. And when you're shuttling, you're also, those 3,000 people, you know, even though that was a general admission lot, like you could tailgate there if you wanted. You know, I don't know how many people are going to be tailgating at the airport or tailgating in the University of Memphis parking lot before they shuttle over to the game. So it takes away some of the environment too. So it's, you know, I guess it's the price of progress, if you will, because I do think this project that they're pursuing, you know, other than these 3, 4, 5, 6 days out of the year, like this project is well worth,
yes,
it seems like, pursuing because of what it could bring to that area, and the type of boost it could provide the economy for the whole city and Shelby County. So it's a problem that comes with progress that they got to figure it out. And so hopefully this is the first step into figuring it out.
Mark, how about Memphis's own campaign possibly being the game one starter at point guard for Phoenix in the Western Conference Finals? You talk about unlikable, you know, unlikely stuff. A couple of years ago, you looked at me like I had three eyes if I'd said that. You wrote a column about it. I thought it was great. He's got a great story, and he wants to tell it, apparently, Mark, right? He wants others to know his story.
Yeah, I was talking to him last week. I guess it was like right before game three was when I talked to him. Or maybe game four. Well, it might have been game four. But he knows how unlikely his story is because, you know, ultimately, you know, this was a guy who was, you know, I guess Raheem Shabazz said it, you know, left for dead by people. Like people just thought his career, NBA career was over. He went to China at one point because he couldn't get an NBA gig. Went to China, and as he tells the story, it's him and his girlfriend landed at this airport in this city, Taiyuan, China. It's like in the Shaanxi province. And they landed at this airport for him to start this gig with this Chinese team. and no one from the team came there to pick them up.
Man.
And they had to walk. They had to walk the streets with their luggage to try and figure out where they were supposed to go. He barely played, he said, over 2 or 3 months. And so, and then at one point, he called his dad and said, you know what, this ain't it. Like, I gotta, you know. And he had been reluctant to go to the G League because he was afraid he'd get stuck there. Like so many people, you know, as he put it, like, you know, you see guys put up these huge numbers, and then you're like, they're still there.
Yeah.
And so, but he swallowed his pride and was like, you know what? Like, this China thing ain't it. I'm going to go to, and he went and played in the G League for 15 games. And then the world stopped because of the pandemic. And so he came back to Memphis and kind of resurrected his career, it sounds like, through that China experience, through the G League experience, and then through, you know, working out here on his own during the pandemic, rededicating himself to the grind, to the game. But it is a great story. Like, more so, you know, this isn't a guy. Yes, Campaign is really talented. He was, you know, there's a reason why he went from being this overlooked star at Lausanne to a guy who could leave Murray State after 2 years and get drafted in the first round. There's no doubt he's talented. But, you know, once you get to the NBA, it's only a select few who are like the stars. And eventually everyone's got to have that mentality of, you know, I got to fight for my life, so to speak. And to see Cam kind of rediscover that when he very easily could have said, you know what,
yep,
like, it's just over. I you know, it was a nice run. It's, you know, I'm not going to try and do this. I'm not going to set myself up to fail again. Like, he didn't give up. And that's those types of stories to me, one, resonate more, but two, they're just more realistic for the kid, for kids here coming up as basketball players. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it goes. It's not like this smooth path where you're the star your whole life. Like, you get knocked down along the way. And there's going to be moments where, you know, it's going to feel like, you know, there's no hope. And you know, the greatest stories, I think, come out of the people who don't allow those moments to consume them. They fight through them. And Campaign seems like a great example of that. I mean, he just, you know, it just seems like he refused to let the NBA kick him out. And I love that part. I just love that part of the story.
Absolutely.
And like, when he comes in, like, I mean, he brings a real energy to that second unit. You know, like, they clearly sort of feed off of what he – I think it's a lesson also, too, in, you know, a lot of guys, when they're in the top 15, top 20, like, they want to sort of be all things to all people, right? They want to be Kevin Durant. They want to be a three-point shooter. They want to be an elite scorer. But Cam – you know, and really anybody that's coming off the bench in the NBA, they're there because they do one thing really well. They've found what that is, and it might not be like Campaign is an energy guy. Like, he's a hustle guy. He's a guy that's gonna get after the other team's best, you know, defender. He's gonna you know, die for loose balls, all those things. But that's his role, and that's what got him back in the NBA. A lot of guys don't like that. A lot of guys don't like the idea of sort of playing, you know, one specific role. They want to be everything to everybody, and quite frankly, that's just not going to be, for the overwhelming majority of basketball players, that's not going to be your ticket to the NBA, because there's only one Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, and what Cam did is he figured out what he was good at, and he figured out what he wasn't good at, and he's emphasized, like, you know, like, if you look at him, ultimately, that shot of his is really unorthodox, but man, it goes in a lot. Like, he, you know, he became a 40% and above 3-point shooter.
Yep.
Like, he did make some fundamental changes to his game. He focused more on, you know, defense. Like, he was known as a guy who, you know, he wasn't the great, he's still not the greatest defender, but he made too many mistakes just from not knowing the game plan and not focusing, is how he put it. And like, now he, as you put it, he's bringing more energy consistently to the game. Like, he made some fundamental changes to his game. It's not like this is just, you know, things broke right for him this time. You know, like, he did, like, I do think he probably, when he looks back on this in retrospect, needed that rejection.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Bulls, you know, are quoted as saying, he, you know, we didn't think he could play in the NBA. and he needed that experience in China to kind of open his eyes to what he needed to do in order to make it work when he got a second chance. So, you know, that's the other part of this. It's like, yes, the circumstances did work out where, you know, the way he tells it is, when the bubble was starting up, he thought he was going to get signed by the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
And then he got a call from Dallas saying, you know what, we decided to go with Trey Burke instead. And, you know, in that moment, you got to think, if you're Cam Payne, you've been in China, you went to the G League, you just spent like 4 or 5 months basically in solitude, like working out in Memphis, not knowing what your future is going to hold. Here you think you got the shot with doubt. Like it could crush some people.
Yep.
And as Cam says it, you know, the very next day is when the Suns called, and the rest is history. But he thought it was a lesson in, you know, you gotta always make sure you're ready for when that moment comes. And it's awesome to see him seize it.
Now, Mark, last thing here, I've got a note from the Clippers that says that you are playoff Paul George's biggest fan and that you have a lot of fun watching him. My question, Mark, for you is, can he take it to the KD level now with Kawhi out for at least game 5?
They're saying an ACL injury now.
Holy cow.
Really?
So probably the rest of the playoff season, as John was speaking to earlier, do you think playoff Paul can take it to the next level, right, and beat Utah by himself essentially?
It feels like this is a perfect scenario for playoff Paul, because obviously if he succeeds, if they beat the Jazz, I mean, without Kawhi, I mean, that to me kind of proves Paul George right. He was playoff Paul. He was playoff P all along. And if he fails, he's got the easy excuse of, like, Kawhi got hurt. I mean, like, come on. What did you expect me to do?
It's
Kawhi
true.
Got hurt.
That's true.
You know, it was a tied series with Kawhi. Like, you know, so I feel like he's actually – this is a perfect scenario for him in that I don't think he can look horrible no matter how this goes.
Yeah. No, he will get criticized, though, just so you know. Like, if
he's been better of late.
I just think I problem with the – like, I'm not the biggest Paul George fan. I just have a problem with – I just think the criticism is so over the top with him. Like, he's a very good player. Is he, like, one of the top 10 players in the league? Is he a guy who can, you know, can be the number one guy on an NBA title team? No, he can't. But I think he's a very good player, and I think he gets too bad of a rap. Hmm. You know, should he have called himself playoff P? No, he shouldn't have. But look at his playoff averages. He's a guy who led Indiana to the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times. He's a good playoff player. He's not an all-time playoff player.
Yeah.
He's not one of like the best players of this generation. But he's a very good player, and I think he gets too much crap because he probably put his foot in his mouth calling himself playoff P.
Paul George is an evolved Jeff Green. Like, that's who he is. And I don't even know if he's as good as Jeff Green. Did you see the game last night? I mean, so Paul George, like, I think it's the same sort of, I think you fall into the same trap with Paul George.
I think Paul George is much better than Jeff Green.
Yeah, no, he's evolved. He's an evolved version of Jeff Green, but you fall into the same trap as looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. I mean, Paul George, from a skill set perspective, looks like he could put up 35 every single night, but, like, he doesn't, you know? And then he'll come up with 40. He'll put up 40. And he'll just sink back into whatever place he is in the next game. Anyway, we know you'll be tuned in, Mark. Always appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, guys. Yeah. Talk to you later.
He is Mark Giannotto. Joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, he is better than Jeff Green, certainly. But I think it's
and he's stepped up.
It's
he
the same
did
thing.
Game 4.
Oh, he ain't gonna step up tonight. Bet your ass he's gonna put up
but
about
Mark
22.
Is right. Now he's got built-in excuse.
Oh yeah, I mean.
You know,
we already know Paul George can't do it by himself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.